Ladies, come out this Thursday night, November 1st at 5:30 p.m. for our Ladies' Night Self-Defense Firearms class. Don't be a victim. Learn how you can protect yourself. This is the most realistic, dynamic, intense training available. We use military simmunitions, so get ready to fight. But hurry, we only have 30 spots. The cost is only $10, and we'll be giving away a CCW purse. So sign up now at myselfdefense.info. That's myselfdefense.info.
Hello, I'm Kathy Connect, asking you to re-elect my husband, Ron Connect, as Nevada Comptroller. Ron cut spending 13% and returned over $1 million to the state treasury while improving services. He led the fight against the commerce tax. Ron wants to be re-elected to help leave all Nevada's children the same legacy of hope, growth, and opportunity our parents' generation left for us. Thank you for listening, and please re-elect Ron Connect as Nevada Comptroller.
Paid for by the Committee to Elect Ron Connect.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Election Day coming up next Tuesday. Early voting the rest of the week. And then you're at the mercy of Election Day. And you know what can happen. The kids can get sick. You can get called out of town on a medical emergency. A business trip. And all of a sudden, you are out of luck for trying to vote. Great to have you with us. Kevin Wall with you. Unbelievable. We are now closing in. The president, by the way, is going to be on the road. 11 rallies in 6 days. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if he crammed another one or two into his itinerary for Air Force One in the coming coming few days. Joining us as he does every Wednesday, always glad to have him, Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach. He's on the road today. Where are you today, Chuck?
Yeah, it's the yin and yang of technology. It's great that you're not anchored to a landline anymore, but I'm on my way out to Pahrump, and when I hit that mountain going over the hump to get there, you lose cell service. So
I understand.
I'm going to pull off the road and make sure that I can stay online with you.
Good, good, good. I want to ask you, the president went to Pittsburgh yesterday, and a lot of people were critical that it was too early, it was too soon, maybe his heart was in the right place, but what did you make of the president's trip to Pittsburgh? He put stones on the memorial outside of the synagogue. Did he do the right thing?
Of course, and it doesn't matter what he had done. His critics would, or wrong, that he can win with certain elements in the electorate. The old joke that's been going around for a while now is that if Donald Trump walked across water, people would say that he didn't know how to swim. So,
yeah,
he's in a no-win situation.
Nope. I understand. Now, let me just ask you, if you watch CNN, you watch MSNBC, you watch Talking Heads on TV, they're all telling you the same thing. The president is the reason why we had 11 people dead in Pittsburgh. What's the other side of that coin?
That they're full of it. Again, it's the same thing. No matter what happens, the folks in what he refers to as the fake news media, not all media, but the fake news media, he can do nothing right. No matter what he does, they're going to criticize him for it. And then when they're good things to report on, like the economy, jobs, the stock market. They never give him credit for that. He's definitely in a no-win situation with the fake news media.
And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, comparing the president and his stance on Israel to, say, President Obama, I mean, it's like light years away. I mean, there's no comparison to be made. The president wins hands down. How can they make him out to be anti-Semitic or supporting anti-Semitic people?
Again, it's fake news. You're absolutely correct. He has probably been the strongest, most vocal supporter of Israel as the United States president that we've seen. And yet, nevertheless, because of what happened in Pittsburgh, the anti-Trumpers out there will find a way to criticize him and say that he's less than what he really is. And for them to claim that, well, he hasn't made a statement against white nationalism and trying to say that when he says nationalism, he's talking about our entire country. It's not about white nationalism, but that's what they do. It's pure rhetoric, it's pure propaganda, and it's pure Trump derangement syndrome.
You know, it's a lot like the way they've dealt with illegal immigration, in that what they've done is people on the left have said that Republicans aren't necessarily anti-illegal immigrant. That has morphed into their anti-immigrant. They dropped the illegal, and that's the same thing that's going on now. White nationalist now has become nationalist, and God forbid you should proclaim yourself a nationalist.
Yeah. I think that a lot of the support, why even when people may disagree with Trump on an issue here or maybe in the way he communicates there, they still support him overall because they know that any other Republican in this circumstance or these circumstances would have backed down and buckled and caved in and, said, well, let me clarify my statements. Donald Trump doesn't back down. He's a fighter and he's going to keep on fighting. When they tell him, you need to ratchet down your rhetoric, he doesn't do that. He doesn't let them dictate the terms of the fight. He takes the fight right to them. And I think that's why he has a lot of support among Republicans who may not necessarily agree with him on every issue, but they agree that it's time that Republicans had a fighter who fights on the same terms as the opposition and stands up to them.
11 rallies, 6 days for the president, including one tonight in Florida. He's going to be in Missouri twice. He's going to be in Indiana twice over the next 6 days. Tell me, can you read anything from where he is going as to how this whole thing to save the Senate, save the House is going?
Yeah, and this is another example. We've had presidents, Republican presidents, go out on the stump and campaign for certain candidates here and there, but they've never done it to the extent that Donald Trump has and never did it with outright enthusiasm for doing it. Let's face it, Donald Trump loves campaigning. I think he probably loves it more than being president, and he's good at it. I mean, it's where his strength lies, and you can see it when you've got thousands upon thousands of people still showing up for campaign rallies, even though it's not for his reelection campaign yet. But just the fact that this president is out there on the stump communicating his ideas and taking the fight to the other side. And he does take the fight to the other side. He's calling out the Democrats by name. I think it's a good thing for our team.
More to come. Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, he is on the road. We're going to talk about statewide races. The CD3, the CD4 races. The gubernatorial race, Jackie Rosen, Dean Heller. We're going to talk about all of that and a whole lot more coming up in our next segment as we continue live and local now. Nevada candidate for governor Steve Sisolak wants to prevent you from protecting your home and family from criminals. Sisolak is following the lead of radical anti-gun Senator Dianne Feinstein, whose newest assault weapons ban includes most of the handguns and semi-automatic rifles Americans use to protect them and their families. In fact, Feinstein said if she could, she would ban all guns. And Steve Sisolak is following her lead. That's why anti-gun groups like Everytown USA, funded by Michael Bloomberg, have poured millions of dollars into races for candidates like Sisolak this year. Sisolak's agenda is simple: to ban semi-automatic firearms, allow government bureaucrats to seize your guns without any court hearing, and maintain a government list of every American who owns a gun. That's why Gun Owners of America is proud to endorse Nevada Attorney General Adam Laxalt for governor. Adam Laxalt will defend the Constitution and your right to protect your home and family from criminals. Paid for by Gun Owners of America.
The Moving Wall, the traveling Vietnam Veterans War Memorial, will be in Las Vegas Thursday, November 1st through Sunday, the 4th, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. each day. The 3,400-foot half-size replica is open to the public and free of charge. Join dignitaries and Vietnam groups 11:45 Friday and 11:45 Saturday, a full turkey luncheon served to all veterans from all wars in service. I'm Jacob Jimerson on behalf of the Jimerson Law Firm, sponsor for this war memorial, inviting you to the memorial site 500 South Las Vegas Boulevard next to the Nevada Supreme Court building.
My fellow Nevadans, the annual fiscal burden on Nevada taxpayers caused by illegal immigrants is more than $630 million a year. I'm Joel Hanson, candidate for Attorney General. As your Attorney General, I will direct Nevada law enforcement agencies to report all illegal immigrants they encounter to ICE, and I'll vigorously prosecute any who commit violent crimes. Nevada must not become a sanctuary state. Please visit my website at votejoelhanson.com.
Paid for by friends of Joel Hanson.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
Hello, my name is Richard MacArthur. I'm running for re-election in Assembly District 4, which is in the northwest part of Las Vegas. I have lived in Las Vegas for 38 years and want Nevada to be a good place to live and work, raise a family, feel safe, and be able to start a business. I support lower taxes, limited government, the right to keep and bear arms, school choice, and voter ID. I'm opposed to sanctuary cities and amnesty for illegals. I humbly ask for your vote in the general election in November. Again, Richard MacArthur, Assembly District 4. Paid for by the committee to elect Richard MacArthur.
Adam Laxalt promised he would defend our gun rights, but he lied. Adam Laxalt just came in support of red flag gun laws like they have in California that allow a social worker or an ex-wife to take away your guns without being convicted of a crime. Good luck getting your guns back from a liberal judge. Call Adam Laxalt and tell him to keep his hands off our guns. Adam Laxalt, just another rhino.
Paid for by Ryan Bundy for governor campaign.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
On across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now for a Wednesday, the Wednesday before General Election Day, the midterms. Chuck Muth joining us, the president of Citizen Outreach. He's on the road today, headed to Pahrump, I think, and joins us on a City National Bank guest hotline. Chuck, let me ask you. We've been looking at the gubernatorial race, Adam Laxalt against Steve Sisolak, but you got Ryan Bundy, who is in there, essentially a third party sort of guy. Does he have enough strength that he could be the balance of power in the race?
Well, depending on how close the race is, yes, absolutely. And we've seen it in other races before with Libertarian Party candidates and Independent American Party candidates on the ballot where they were able to pull 2-4% of the vote. And that was the margin of, the difference in the margin between winning and losing an election for Republicans. So, yes, it could happen. I think, though, that a lot of people support Ryan Bundy. They support his cause and, the public lands fights against the government. But when push comes to shove, when they go into the ballot box, they look at the hard, cold reality that he's not going to win, he's not going to be governor, and a vote for Ryan Bundy is essentially a vote for Steve Sisolak, and when push comes to shove, I think they're going to vote for Adam.
Let me ask you, Danny Tarkanian, he has tried before, he's been unsuccessful in a number of these general elections, but I gotta tell you, a lot of support for Danny that I hear just out among potential constituents. Where do you see that race? I know you've seen public polling. You may have seen some private polling. What are you seeing? And again, the disclaimer, you have worked for the Tarkanian campaign, have you not?
That is correct. I'm still a paid advisor to the campaign. And I tell you, in looking at this, I think that this is the one where Danny's perseverance finally pays off. He barely lost 2 years ago to Jackie Rosen in an election that had a much stronger, I mean, there was a presidential election. He did not have the support of the Republican governor in this state. He did not get the endorsement of the primary opponents he beat in that race. This time around, he's got the full-throated support from the President of the United States, the backing of the White House, the backing of the congressional committees, the super PACs, and he's again, you know, running against a candidate who is really a nothing candidate, just like Jackie Rosen. She's refused to debate him. She has no real position on any issues, and I think she's just phoning it in, hoping that her money will be enough to carry the day, and I just don't think it's going to make it this time.
You know, you mentioned not debating, and I'm just curious. We've seen this from a lot of different candidates. Either they don't want to debate, or in the case of Jackie Rosen, she doesn't want to debate outside of Clark County. I guess my question is, has the time for debates come and gone in our country? We're seeing this not just here in Nevada. We're seeing it around the country where Democrats just don't want to debate.
Yeah, well, particularly here in Nevada, I think this goes back to around, I want to say it was 2008, Kevin. There were two Democrat women running for state Senate seats against two Republican incumbents. At the time, it was State Senator Joe Heck and State Senator Bob Beers. And the Democrats decided that they weren't ready for prime time and wouldn't subject them to debates or even media interviews for the most part. And they won by hiding their candidates from public scrutiny. And so I think ever since then, for the past decade, that's been a campaign strategy for a lot of Democrat candidates who are very, very weak as candidates, that they just hide them from the public and they hope that paid media wins the day. And as long as that's a successful tactic and the public doesn't hold them accountable for refusing to debate in public and have those discussions, then I think they'll continue to do it.
In CD4, a tough race, Crescent Hardy and Stephen Horsford both have been members of Congress, both want to get back to Washington, D.C. Who do you like in that one, and any indicators early on?
Well, I've always thought that was going to be an extremely difficult race for Republicans to win again. The numbers skew so much in favor of Democrats. I mean, it's a big, big Democrat advantage. The only reason Crescent Hardy was able to win that district in 2014 was because of that big red wave we had that year,
yeah,
where the Democrats were staying home. And that is just, I just don't see that manifesting itself in this particular election. So I think that's probably a lost cause for us.
Let me ask you, though, in the last week we have seen, we've seen Ronna McDaniel, the chair of the RNC. We've seen Eric Trump and Lara, and we're seeing lots of surrogates and folks coming in. Mike Pence was in for a rally over the weekend with him. What do you read into that? Does that mean this race may be closer than we all think, that maybe they see some numbers that maybe we haven't?
It could very well be. Again, I've heard for several weeks now that CD4 was in play, which goes completely against what the numbers would indicate, but you know, there are many people out there who may have internal information on this that I don't know about, and maybe they're seeing something that I'm not seeing. I hope so. I hope it's true. But, you know, again, we're all going to know next Tuesday night, won't we?
Yes, we will. Let me ask you, the race everybody's talking about around the country is the U.S. Senate race, Dean Heller, Jackie Rosen. I'm still trying to find out what exactly she's done in her nearly 2 years as a member of the House of Representatives, because the only thing I can come up with is a big zero.
successfully taken up time and space in the House of Representatives. She takes a seat and she's there, and that's about it. I mean, there really is no there when you look at Jackie Rosen. There's no accomplishments. There's just nothing about this woman that would justify her getting a U.S. Senate seat after less than one term in Congress. I mean, she announced for U.S. Senate just months after she took the House of Representatives seat. I think Dean's actually going to pull this out now. I've changed. I think the landscape has shifted politically, especially with the Kavanaugh hearing. But Dean has been a lot more supportive, obviously, of President Trump than he had been in 2016. Trump seems to have forgotten and forgiven and has been actively campaigning for him. And I think that's going to make the difference. I think even people who may still have reservations about Dean are going to vote for Dean because they know that's a vote for Donald Trump.
I want to ask you, because you being a political consultant would probably understand this better than anybody, a story in the Washington Examiner just the other day, that Dean is being outspent right now 4-1 on TV ads. 4-1. How does a candidate break through when you're battling a 4-1 discrepancy there?
Well, in any political campaign, you reach a saturation point where the additional money really doesn't do you much good. Dean did not need to match his opponent dollar for dollar. He just needed to raise enough money to get his side of the story out. And I think at this point, especially this late in the game now, Kevin, there aren't a whole lot of undecided voters out there. I mean, they already know who they're going to vote for, and this flood of money and ads against Dean Heller just has now very, very limited effect, and I think he's going to be just fine.
It almost reminds me of the primary, the Roberson Tarkanian primary, where Roberson had all the money, spent a gazillion dollars on TV ads, and yet Danny Tarkanian won the primary. Sometimes, and even if you look at the presidential race, where Hillary spent $1.2 billion and Donald Trump spent $600 million, sometimes it's not how much you spend, it's how you spend it, and it depends on your candidate.
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And we've seen it in race after race, and I tell candidates that all the time who are going to be outspent by their opponent. You don't need to match them dollar for dollar. You just need to get enough to get your message out, and that's the case. And I'll tell you, Kevin, I think that this whole Trump thing and the Kavanaugh thing, I think, is going to play out well statewide for Republicans. I do have a doubt, though, about Michael Roberson. I'm seeing and hearing rumblings that Black Salt's going to win, but even though he's running with Roberson as a ticket, people are not voting for Michael Roberson. They still have not forgiven and forgotten him stabbing them in the back and voting for that tax hike in 2015. So that may be the one loss that Republicans see statewide.
Okay, in 25 seconds or less, give me your chances for Dennis Hoff to win that race and keep that keep District 36 a red state or a red district.
I'm going to be cautious on this one and say that his chances of winning that seat are probably only about 99.7%.
I love it! I love it. Hey, Chuck, thanks, man. We're running short on time. You be safe in your travels, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, Kevin. Take care.
There you go. Chuck Muth joining us. The president of Citizen Outreach. We're going to talk with one of those candidates for lieutenant governor and nonpartisan. That's next. Live and local. Now.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
All across the state of Nevada and in SoCal, too, it's live and local now for a Wednesday. The Wednesday before Election Day, we got a couple of days left of early voting, and then it's on to next Tuesday, Election Day, the midterms. A lot of decisions being made by voters even as we speak. A lot of folks who just have not been engaged until now. I know that I've spoken to a number of voters who went into the voting booth, and they had to not just do a double take, but they had to stand there for a few minutes before deciding what to do and who to vote for in various races, whether it's the U.S. Senate race featuring Dean Heller or whether it's the lieutenant governor's race when you're talking about Michael Roberson. And we were talking with Chuck Muth, the president of Citizen Outreach, and he mentioned that there are some races where people are having to think twice. Michael Roberson, by the way, the guy that helped shepherd the largest tax increase in the history of our state through the legislature. Who to vote for lieutenant governor? Here's an idea. A nonpartisan candidate, Ed Yuling, and he joins us in studio. Ed, good morning. Thanks for coming in, man.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin, for having me on your great program. I listen to it all the time.
Oh, you are too kind. You are too kind.
It's true.
I want to ask, and by the way, we can continue the interview anyway, whether you listen or not. But I'm just curious. Lieutenant governor is kind of an interesting position. It deals with tourism, and he's also the guy or the gal that presides over the state Senate. And I guess my question is, why would a nonpartisan candidate, essentially an impartial observer, why would that be good?
Because the lieutenant governor decides he decides the tied votes, and when we play sports, we don't have one of the teams provide the umpire or the referee for the game. It should be someone who can communicate with both sides and can make an objective decision about how to vote in the best interest, not of the party, but of the state and the people of the state.
I want to ask you a question I ask every candidate we get in here, because I know the sacrifices that you folks make, those of you that step into the arena, and this is not your first rodeo. You've run for office before. But I'm just curious why you got into this race. And, I mean, it costs you money. It costs you loads of time that you could be spending with friends and family and all of that and just kind of chilling. Can you tell me why you got into this race?
Well, you're right. It does take a lot of time. It does take a lot of money. And it's very difficult to crack the Republican-Democratic slate, tendency to vote by slate. And the reason I got in is because I feel that this job fits me perfectly. I have lots of international experience, and I believe that Las Vegas has to move to the next level. The statistics that came out yesterday reported that Las Vegas is losing income, losing tourists, and that should not be happening. We should be at 80 million tourists a year if we had merely kept pace with the rest of the world. And I've traveled to 49 countries in 49 states. I've lived in several countries. I've worked there. So I have a lot of experience. In fact, I think I deal better with foreigners than I do with Americans.
let me just ask you: were there debates in this campaign?
No, of course not.
Did anybody get to debate?
Do you think the Democrats or Republicans are going to debate? No.
What do you make of that?
It would be fabulous if they debate. It would be fun. New ideas would come out.
Did anybody even talk about debates?
No. I did.
Of course I did.
I'm willing to debate. I'm willing to talk to anyone. I'm willing to go on any media.
Let me ask you. I know that you have been busy crisscrossing the state. And I'm curious what you heard. Now, you guys are all great at making speeches, but I like it when you guys listen. And you're a listener. You are a listener. What is it that folks are telling you they want in their state government?
What are they telling me they want? Well,
What are the issues that they're talking to you about?
Well, it seems like the issue, and it's depressing to a certain degree, a big issue for a lot of people in the state is health care. And the state really doesn't deal with health care. It could never afford to provide health care for the whole population. The United States can't afford to provide health care. And it's going to bankrupt the country if we continue on this path.
Let me ask you.
So that's what people are talking about. Okay.
If people are looking at Ed Yuling and they're saying, wow, he's on the ballot, there he is, but he's nonpartisan. Would you consider yourself liberal or conservative? Let's try it that way.
Okay.
If I can't pin you down that you're more Democrat than you are Republican, let me try this. Are you liberal or conservative?
I'm very conservative fiscally. We need all sorts of safeguards in our budget when we don't have any to make sure that the budget is going to meet certain criteria. We're going to have certain performance. We have no performance standards. They just budget big amounts of money. And that's got to stop if we're going to progress in our state, if we're going to get things done. I'm very conservative fiscally. I'm more liberal socially. I'm personally gay. So I believe that gay people should have equal rights in the state. I believe that it would be a good idea to use economically to use the DACA people for our labor shortage and for their our own benefit. We spend all this money educating them, a couple hundred thousand dollars a piece. Let's let them contribute to the society. So I have I'm liberal in
you
in
like Trump?
Social view.
You like Trump?
I like a lot of what he's doing, but he lost me when he said we're in competition. He tells China we're in competition with you. No, when we make these trade agreements, we're in cooperation. An agreement is like a cooperative arrangement. And if we don't cooperate with each other, we're going to end up in a war or with destroying each other. That doesn't do anyone any good. And that's a battle we're going to lose in the long run. For the last 5,000 years of human history, we fought with each other. Then after World War II, we made a series of agreements to cooperate with each other. And I see him as damaging that very difficult to arrange fabric of the society.
What is it you like about Trump? You said you like some of the policies.
I love the way he's creating chaos in the government, don't no one knows what's going to be his next move. I love that. Internationally, I think it's not a good idea in some cases, though.
Again, joining us, Ed Yuling. He's running for lieutenant governor as a nonpartisan. Tell me how a nonpartisan would work. You don't caucus with, what, anybody?
Well, I don't think it's a good idea. Kate Marshall says she's going to caucus with the Democrats. How can you have the tiebreaker in the Senate caucusing with one of the groups? Her vote is predetermined.
Well, and Michael Roberson, if he were to win, he'll caucus with the Republicans.
Well, okay, that's unfortunate also. We can't have that. We have to have a nonpartisan in that job.
I had not, until you walked in this morning, I had not even thought of that. But the idea of a nonpartisan, somebody that's an impartial arbitrator, so to speak, you know, an impartial arbiter, like an umpire, as you say, being the one to break the ties, not a bad idea.
Well, I think so, and I hope your viewers think so, and will vote for a fiscal conservative, a person in favor of the Second Amendment, very much in favor of it, and a totally committed to the Constitution and to individual rights and to our ability to be free from government intrusion in our lives.
Tell me what it is like to run as a nonpartisan. You don't have any party conventions. You don't have balloon drops or anything like that. Tell me what it's like operating out there all by yourself.
It's very difficult because you don't have any support anywhere you're going. You don't have the contacts that the parties have all over the place. You know, at Chuck Moose debate up in or a town hall, maybe I should say, up in Dayton two nights ago, the night before last, actually. Two commissioners were at that event, and they said, well, we've already committed to do this and this and this and this, and that's the way it is. And they've already made up their minds about everything, and so it's really difficult to make contacts with people.
Do you have a volunteer force? Do you have folks that are out there in Ely and Battle Mountain and places like that that are?
No, of course not. But I have a very strong team. We're doing great on social media. If you look on my Facebook, you'll see some fantastic videos that have been prepared by my campaign manager. They're incredible, really.
Let me ask you, as far as, Roberson's got tons of dough. Kate Marshall has a lot of money.
Yeah, I have their campaign reports of the last 4 or 5 years. It's like 50 pages long. 10,000 here, 10,000 there, 5,000 here.
Now, I want to ask you, while that may be detrimental to your campaign from the standpoint of having money to go out and put up billboards or TV ads or radio ads, whatever it might be, it also gives you, you're not beholden to anybody, are you?
No, that's right. Exactly. That's what would happen in the state Senate or in the government. I would talk to people on both sides. I would convince the Democrats they should accept school choice.
I want to ask you, because this is starting to creep into TV ads. I've seen it with Jackie Rosen. I've seen some other statewide ads where the notion of being able to work on both sides. Jackie Rosen says, I've reached across the aisle.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
if you believe
but
that.
Then still votes,
if you believe that.
But then still votes 89% with Nancy Pelosi.
Well, that's one advantage I have. I haven't put out any campaign advertisements with total lies.
No, but you put out very few advertising TV ads that I haven't seen. Any.
I know.
Not up on TV?
No, I don't think a nonpartisan can afford TV. Aren't they like $700 a spot or something like that? Yeah. That's for...
little expense, and that's the political rate.
Laxalt mentioned in his talk up at the Carson City Airport that his campaign is costing... maybe he's talking about the total cost. It's costing $150 million. That's a bit over my...
Let me ask you, my little budget. Let me ask you, we're 6 days away, and people are still going to be able to early vote for the rest of the week, and then it's on to Tuesday. I'm going to give you as much time as you want. 2-3 minutes, whatever it takes. Tell people why. When they get into the voting booth, they should, and they get to lieutenant governor, why they should think twice and maybe three times about voting for Kate Marshall or Michael Roberson, and why they should consider your candidacy.
Well, we've already talked about the one aspect of the job, which is to break the ties, and why that should be a nonpartisan. The second aspect of tourism, I've traveled around the world. I know that Las Vegas... I've talked to the people at the LVCVA many times and told and pointed out to them that we're not doing a good job. We've only increased our tourism between 2007 to 2017. 11 years, it's only gone up 10%. Macau went up 400%. During that same period of time, during the Great Recession that our people here in Southern Nevada are constantly crying about. They're still crying about it. It's just incredible. And the LVCA is an excellent example of this. This should not have happened. The tourism industry is the best industry in the world. People come here, they drop their money just for the experience. They have no interest in getting interest back. They don't require profit. They don't require any return on investment. They don't require anything. They just drop their money here. What better industry is there in the world? We should have never gone into the Great Recession if our people were on the ball and realized that we have to that our new future. Our new future tourists are going to be international, and they are the ones that have 90% of the money in the world. We have to work on bringing them here, and we simply don't do that.
If people want to help you, I know we're 6 days out, but if they want to put a yard sign in, if they want to walk a neighborhood for you, how do they go about doing it? How do they reach out to you?
Well, they can go on my Facebook page, Ed Euling for Lieutenant Governor.
Spell it.
Governor.
Spell it.
Oh, Euling. Oh, yeah, that's true. U-E-H-L-I-N-G. Thank you very much, Kevin. Okay, it's not an easy name to spell. Ed Euling for Lieutenant Governor, U-E-H-L-I-N-G.
Ed, it's great to meet you. And again, because we met a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, whatever it was. But it's so good to have you in. Thank you so much. Best of luck. And, hey, we'll see what happens on election night. Anything can happen when you leave it to the voters.
Well, thank you very much for that optimism and and for the opportunity of being on your great show.
Ed, thank you. Ed Euling joining us, running for Lieutenant Governor, doing it a different way, nonpartisan. And by the way, with all the ads you see out there and all the candidates saying, I'm willing to reach across the aisle, this is a guy that has to reach across the aisle because he's a nonpartisan. Stick around. More to do as we continue. It is live and local now.
This is James Dean Levitt, and I am running for judge. For the past 35 years as a missionary, lawyer, regent, and candidate for judge, I have dedicated my life to helping young men and women discover their unlimited potential in becoming productive members of society and inspiring them to change and improve their lives. This is why I am running to be the next judge in Justice Court Department 1, and I am humbly asking for your vote. Paid for by the committee to elect James Dean Levitt.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. This election will impact the direction of Nevada politics for many years to come. During last year's state legislative session, the Democrats nearly passed bills that would have made Nevada a sanctuary state, raised our taxes, increased regulations on our businesses, limited parent school choice, and violated our Second Amendment rights. If we don't elect Republicans throughout the state of Nevada on November 6th, these bills will pass during next year's legislative session. I urge you to vote and vote for Republicans up and down the ballot. And I urge you to vote no on ballot issue question 5. A no vote on question 5 is essential to maintain fair elections. A yes vote opens the door for voter fraud. California has acknowledged that 25,000 people were illegally registered to vote after they passed a similar law. This message has been paid for by the Nevada Federation of Republican Women. To find their club in your area, visit nvfrw.org. That's nvfrw.org.
I am Jim Marchant, and I'm running for re-election for Assembly District 37. I will vote against any effort to raise your property taxes, against allowing Nevada to become a sanctuary state, against continued efforts to violate your Second Amendment rights, and against school districts being able to levy taxes on you. This is the most critical election in our history, and it is very important that you get out and vote for candidates like me that believe as you do. I am Jim Marchant, and I humbly ask for your support and vote. Paid for by the committee to elect Jim Marchant.
Ladies, come out this Thursday night, November 1st at 5:30 p.m. for our Ladies Night Self-Defense Firearms Class. Don't be a victim. Learn how you can protect yourself. This is the most realistic, dynamic, intense training available. We use military simmunitions, so get ready to fight. But hurry, we only have 30 spots. The cost is only $10, and we will be giving away a CCW purse. So sign up now at myselfdefense.info. That's myselfdefense.info.
Nancy Pelosi is trying to take over Nevada. Do I have your attention? Hey, Kevin Wall here with a very important message for all Nevadans. If you want to stop Nancy Pelosi and elitist out-of-state liberals from invading our state, you've got to get out and vote for Danny Tarkanian. Danny is the Trump-endorsed conservative candidate for Congress. He's a fighter, offering real solutions for Nevada families. Solutions like school choice. Danny believes that you as parents deserve a say in how your tax dollars are spent and which education system is best for your children. And Danny will work hard with President Trump to finally secure our borders. For our safety and security, it's an absolute must. In Congress, Danny will strengthen our country and our state by supporting the America First agenda that's already making America great again. Congress has been broken for a long time, folks, and that's why we need Danny Tarkanian's common sense approach. He'll get things done in Washington. I urge you to do the right thing for Nevada and for America and support our friend Danny Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Danny Tarkanian, and I approve this message paid for by Tarkanian for Congress.
I'm Ron Connect, your Nevada controller, asking for your vote. My team cut spending by 13% and returned over $1 million to the state treasury, all while improving services. I led the fight against the commerce tax, promises made, promises kept. I seek your vote to help leave all Nevada's children the same legacy of hope, growth, and opportunity that our parents and grandparents left us. Thanks for considering me, Ron Connect, paid for by the committee to elect Ron Connect.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
I'm dressed up today. I'm almost embarrassed. I dressed this Halloween as a talk show host, and that means jeans and a golf shirt, and no socks, and deck shoes. Yeah, that's kind of what a lot of talk show hosts, you know, wear. I don't know if they do that at CBS or Cumulus or Entercom or any of the other radio stations, but yeah, that's the way I do it. Anyway, good to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed Ed Yuling, and I'll be honest, until he walked in the studio today, I had not even thought of this notion of an impartial arbiter to break any of the ties in the state Senate. I mean, there is something to be said for that. Anyway, coming up, very excited, Amy Tarkanian will join us, former chair of the Nevada Republican Party. You see her on MSNBC and CNN and Fox News and Fox Business all the time. And she's also the spouse of Danny Tarkanian, running for CD3. He could well be headed to Washington in January. Some of the polls show him up on Susie Lee, but Susie Lee's been spending a ton of dough lately, and a lot of it disparaging Danny Tarkanian. He stole money. He did this. Children's charities, you know, that kind of thing. Which, by the way, is the same stuff that Michael Roberson ran. It's the same thing that got a lawsuit, a defamation lawsuit that Danny won. And by the way, he's got another lawsuit in the kitty right now that's in the process. Yeah, he's got another one. This one's against Jackie Rosen, who's running for the Senate now. And by the way, he will probably win that suit. And he says that he may file another suit against Susie Lee. Doesn't help him in this election. Anyway, stick around. Amy Tarkanian, how's the race going in CD3? What is there still left to do as a candidate? We'll talk to... and by the way, I'll even ask her about city council. I'll ask her one question about that. Yeah. Find out if she's still serious about maybe running for her mother-in-law's seat. Lois Tarkanian. She's termed out. We'll find out. We'll get to that and more coming up. Live and local now. Hey, Kevin Wall here. I trust Adam Laxalt to protect Nevada's identity and our values as governor. As attorney general, he protected us from sanctuary cities and threats to free speech. His opponent, known as Shady Steve Sisolak, was called corrupt by a judge for trying to give government contracts to political cronies. He claims every tax is on the table and plans on raising our property taxes. As governor, Adam Laxalt will keep Nevada prosperous and free and keep us from turning into California. Early voting begins October 20th, paid for by Laxalt for Nevada.
Shouldn't Nevada have a lieutenant governor who is both trustworthy and competent and at least knows what that job is about? Number one, refereeing the conflicts between the Democrats and Republicans. Number two, bringing more tourists to Nevada. Just as no one picks the referee from one of the teams, I, as a nonpartisan, will be fair and objective in breaking tie votes in the Senate. As the only lieutenant governor candidate with international experience, I know how we can double the number of tourists to Nevada. My name is Ed Uhling.